The scripture reading tonight is Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, I'll be reading from the New American Standard Update. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. That's Matthew 4, 18 through 22.
So I want to welcome everyone out this evening, especially our visitors, and I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak to y'all for a few minutes tonight. And I want the visitors to know that I'm not the regular preacher, and I'm not really a preacher at all, so if you really want to hear it done well, come back next Sunday. However, I do have some thoughts on some scriptures tonight, and I would like to share those with you. Is this an extra note? Somebody added to my notes. It says, nothing herein shall be construed as requiring additional time fishing or additional purchases or property near lakes. Anyway, all right, so I'll get back to the lesson. Many of you know that I like to fish, and I got to thinking one day that how many times fishing is mentioned in the Bible. And in fact, the New Testament has at least 32 references to fishing as a food source or an occupation. So several of the men that Jesus selected as his apostles fished for a living. So I thought there has to be a connection or a reason for that. And I think I found it. Jesus knew from the beginning that the apostles would be instrumental in beginning his church. And this would require them to be good teachers, as they would have to spread the good news of Christ and teach others what Christ taught them. So again, going back to the scripture reading, specifically Matthew 4, verse 19, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So that's a well-known phrase. So I do think that that gives us the tie-in, fishing, and then how we might use that in our teaching. If you'll turn to Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" And if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So some direction from Christ our Savior. I think the correlation between fishing and teaching can be summarized in three P's. We'll call it preparation, presentation, and patience. And so our first topic is going to be preparation. And if you've fished before, you know this is really important. Before I actually ever fish, I check the rods, the reels, my tackle, the location, the weather, the truck, how are things set up to go, and I put a lot of preparation into it. That's even before I ever get a chance to wet a line. So it is the same with teaching. We cannot teach what we do not know. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Ephesians 6, verse 15. "And as shoes for the feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." We'll follow that with 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." And in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." If we want to be effective at fishing or at teaching, we must be prepared. It cannot be done without the preparation. And so our second point tonight is presentation. Once we prepare, it's all about the presentation. When fishing, you use different methods depending on the fish you are trying to catch or the conditions that you're fishing in. You may need to use a specific bait, fish a certain depth, vary the speed at which you retrieve your lure, or even the size of the lure. All of these make a difference in our success. So sometimes you have to listen to your friends, and on the advice of two good gentlemen, I now own a half a dozen Thomas buoyants. So that's a lesson learned, so we should take that too. And so for presentation, the first thing as far as presentation in teaching is make one. You have to make a presentation of the gospel before anyone can accept it. You sure won't catch any fish if you don't go fishing. And you won't win any souls for Jesus if you don't tell them about him. So if we reference back to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, that commission to the apostles to go was not just to them. It is for us as well. We must not keep the gospel to ourselves. This is brought out in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light in all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So all about presentation. Think about this. Our lives can be one of the best methods or presentations of teaching. By our example, people can see Christ living in us. Whether we realize it or not, we are always teaching with our lives. What is our life saying to others about Christ? So if you'll turn to Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Again, teaching. So, while we will always make our presentation from the Scriptures, different people may need different approaches. One may need a friendly invitation to join us at worship, and another you may discover has an interest in spiritual things, and you can have a conversation around that. So temper your presentation. However it starts, if we are prepared ahead of time, our presentation will become easier. So our last point is patience or perseverance. When fishing, success is few and far between. You will have good days and bad days. If there is such a thing, fishing. I've had a few bad days, but not many. Also, you must be patient. It is hard to just sit there and watch the bobber for hours or wait for it to go under or to chunk a lure over and over and over and get no bites. But the more you go, the more you catch. So in the same way, for teaching, when we teach others, some will hear and others will turn away. One of the best references for that is a familiar passage, Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So we have to be patient and have perseverance. It's kind of like the basketball analogy. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. If we don't offer the gospel, they won't have the opportunity to accept it or reject it. So also have patience and perseverance, because Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 14, "For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." We can't get discouraged about who does or doesn't receive the gospel. That isn't in our part of this process. We have to remember who gives the increase. Just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the plants nor he who watered is anything, but only God who gives the growth." So applying the three P's of this lesson isn't always easy. But if we make other people's souls a priority, we'll put in the time to be prepared. We will speak up and make the presentation of the good news. And we will have patience and perseverance with people, remembering that God will give the increase. And this is probably the best point in the lesson. After all, God has made this tremendous blessing possible by using these three P's as well. He prepared a way from the beginning for us to have a relationship with him through the sacrifice of his son. He has given his word as his inspired presentation to us on how to be right before him. And he has had more patience and perseverance with us than we deserve. Certainly true. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I hope that these thoughts will help stir us to become more effective in our efforts to bring as many souls to Christ as possible. And so there may be someone here tonight who has not responded to the gospel by putting on Christ in baptism, or someone who has fallen away and wants to be restored. Or maybe you need the prayers of the brethren here. Whatever your need may be, please make it known by coming to the front as we stand and sing.